Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts tonight. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room tonight would learn something, would grow. And, Father, that we would have an impact on children and young people in this generation. I pray especially for the parents, Lord, with children at home. Father, that you would just lead and guide them and speak to them through this message tonight and give them hope. Lord, give them encouragement. And Father, just believe you tonight, Lord, that you're going to bring great blessing and victory in their homes in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're beginning a series on parenting. And for those of you who are parents, I just want to say I'm one of you. I want you to know that. Mine are grown now, but I have been there. I have walked in your shoes. I know exactly how it is, all right? And I want to tell you that just so that anything I say that comes across as arrogant or like, hey, I got this all figured out, I just want you to know that I've made a lot of mistakes, and it's a wonder that my kids did not turn out weird, or some of you might weirder, okay? How about that? But, you know, when Jonathan was little bitty, I mean, he was just learning to talk. He only knew a few words. Of course, as his dad, I taught him to point his finger at people and say, repent. It was one of the first words that he learned. And no wonder he turned out to be a little preacher, right? But I have made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of, you know, weird things with my kids. Poor thing. But I'm telling you, and I appreciate Leslie's testimony tonight, but the truth is that I have probably apologized to my kids more than any parent here. I mean, I just have made a lot of mistakes and not handled things right a lot of the time. And I've just had to say, I'm sorry. I apologize to them way more than they ever have apologized to me, I'm telling you. So what I'm saying to you is that, number one, I don't have all the answers. And number two, that God's grace is sufficient and that he does bless us in spite of our mistakes. So I want you to know, in no way do I think that I'm an authority on the subject. By the grace of God, Carmen and I have been blessed to have two children that serve the Lord with a whole heart. And I'll just tell you, you know, I've read books on parenting and you know, heard a lot of stuff about parenting, but it's not a science that I can just tell you, okay, here's the 10 steps to being the perfect parent, raising the perfect kids. It just doesn't work quite like that. Most parents feel a little bit like that story about the young student of child behavior who frequently gave a lecture called The 10 Commandments for Parents. And then he married and became a father. And a short time later, he changed the title of his lecture to 10 Hints for Parents. And then another child came and he said, now he titled it Some Suggestions for Parents. And then a third child was born and he decided not to do any lectures anymore. And I feel a little bit like that. I really don't have all the answers, but I do want to share with you biblical principles and wisdom from Scripture that I believe will help you along the way. And there is a lot in the Scripture that specifically speaks to parents and deals with raising children. But, you know, I found the whole counsel of the Word of God, and so many spiritual principles apply to areas of our life like that if we allow God to speak to us. And you know what we really all want for our children as Christian parents, and I, you know, and making that little bit of assumption there that you want your children to serve God and have the blessing of God on their life, to experience all that God has for them. And, you know, if we want to do that, we want to see that, there are some things that we need to do. But at the same time, you know, you can do everything right and still at times feel like a failure as a parent. My dad used to tell me that raising children was one of life's greatest challenges, and I think that that was especially true if you were trying to raise me, but it's true anyway. I found it to be true. It's such a challenge to raise children that you can, you know, you feel like you're trying, you're doing everything right, and yet there's times when you just want to pull your hair out, right? So nobody has all the answers. There's no perfect parents. But as we talk about these biblical principles, I really believe God's going to help you along your way. I want to challenge you to change and to grow and to be the best parent you can be. But you don't need to be under a load of guilt and condemnation. In fact, that's a trick of the enemy to really weaken parents and get them to not be effective parents. So don't allow yourself to be under that load of guilt. And I want to encourage you and equip you and empower you and help you. So just a lot of parents really struggle with self-doubt and guilt about their parenting and, you know, always questioning themselves whether or not they've done things right. And, you know, it's kind of strange if you go back in history. That's a little bit of a new thing. It's not really very common. If you go back in history, for generations and, well, really thousands of years, parents didn't go, gee, I just don't know if I'm a good parent or not. It's kind of a thing of our culture and our generation where we have, seems like anyway, we have people looking over our shoulder all of the time. Grandparents, just... Not just grandparents, everybody looking over our shoulder all the time. And there's a thousand different voices telling us, well, you should do it like this, and you should do it like this, and this is the way it's supposed to be, and you're not supposed to do that as a parent. And all of this coming at us, you can't live up to all of it. I mean, and it just leaves us with a feeling sometimes of, I don't know if I'm doing a good job or not. And I want to encourage you that you really can be the parent that God wants you to be. It's not that complicated. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but it's simple, and you can do it. So in this series, you know, we're just going to keep it simple and brief. We're probably going to hold this series to about 5 weeks. It could be 15 weeks easily, but we're just going to cover some of the important things. And now I want to remind you of this great promise and principle from Scripture. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child on the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I want to tell you that is both a command and a promise. I know there's people who say that it's just a general principle, that you'd train them up and, well, you just don't really know. That's the same group, though, by the way, that say, well, you never know if God will heal or not. Maybe he will and maybe he won't. We don't know. In fact, they don't really believe in any of the promises of God or miracles for today except the promise of salvation. And I just want you to know that this Bible truth is for us today, and it is real. And listen, there's so much deception about this. There's even paraphrases. By the way, a paraphrase is not a translation. A paraphrase of the Bible is where someone has taken their liberty to interpret the Scripture and tell you what they think it means instead of just translating the words into English. In fact, there are some Bibles out there that call themselves translations that are not. They are paraphrases. And so here's where I'm going with this. This particular verse, there are some paraphrases out there that imply that it's talking about you helping your child find their gift. Now listen, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to deal with whether or not you should help your child find their gift, you know, or are they going to be a doctor or a burger flipper, you know, I don't know. And you know, maybe that's your thing. You're going to push your kid to be a doctor because you're finding their gift for them. But I'm just telling, and listen to this, there's something in life that's way more important than whether or not your child is a doctor or a burger flipper. Whether they are doctor or burger flipper, I'm telling you, serving God is so much more important. Because you can serve God and be blessed working at McDonald's, and you can be a doctor and be cursed. And so I'm telling you, this is what this verse is talking about. Their spiritual life, that they will be blessed. You train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. It's the same thing that Ephesians 6:4 is talking about when it says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And you see, it is a command to us. There's no doubt about that. But there's also that promise that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, we're going to look at Noah tonight. Consider Noah as an example of parenting done right. Hebrews 11:7 tells us that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now just think about this. Old Noah certainly wasn't perfect. Now, he wasn't that lunatic that they depicted him to be in a recent movie. Didn't see it, but I heard that Noah was one crazy dude in that movie. Well, he wasn't like that, but he wasn't perfect either. And guess what? His kids weren't perfect either. But don't forget this. In a generation that was so bad and so crooked and so perverse that God just said he would wipe them all out, Noah was the one man whose household was saved. That puts him pretty high up on the list, don't you think? He was the one man who got his kids saved. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God helped him. God gave him instruction to save his family. Just he and his wife, their three sons, and their wives. They're the only ones that survived. He had his priorities right. He knew what was important. You know, when God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark, what if Noah would have just said, well, you know, God, I got a life here, you know. Who's got time for building a boat like that? I mean, come on, God. You know, just this weird idea thing you gave me. I've got my own business and my own things to do. But Noah knew what was important. He knew that if this flood was coming, he knew that it was coming because God said. And so he knew that he had to do something. He knew that he had to get his priorities right and take care of business. And I want you to understand, to do parenting right, you got to get your priorities right. There's a lot of people kind of missing the boat about parenting. They think so many other things are more important. They've got different priorities. I'm just telling you, you got to get your priorities right. The Lord has to truly be first. I just don't know another way. I'm not the guy that can teach you, of, you know, the modern parenting skills of the day. All I can tell you is that when you do it God's way, it works. And you can't do it God's way if you don't start with this, that God truly is first. There's just not another way. I mean, I don't mean to be harsh or mean in any way, but it doesn't work for the lukewarm Christian. That's the truth. And so, you know, and if I'm, you know, getting on your toes right now, well, there's a fix for that. You don't have to stay that way. But I'm telling you, to really do parenting right, you got to have your priorities right. And God has to truly be first in your life. You know, when you do that, then everything else works. And when you don't do that, nothing really works right. He has to be first in our children's lives. But he has to be first in our lives, too. It's amazing how many parents want their kids to go to church and, you know, learn about Jesus, and yet they themselves aren't really serving God. It's a good sign that you're in church on Wednesday night, so I know I'm not talking about you. But listen, most of what a child learns in the first few years of life, they learn all by example. It's by what they see and what they hear, what you're doing. Listen, that's how they learn how to talk. It's how they learn how to walk. It's how they learn how to do a whole lot of stuff. I'm just telling you, in those first few years of life, but really and truly, at any age, even if you have adult children, here's the best way that you could ever, ever impact their life: by example. Whether they're 3 years old or 30 years old, the most powerful thing that you could ever do to impact the life of your kid is to live it before them. And even if you made lots of mistakes when they were young and you say they're older now, let me tell you, they're still smart enough to see when there's a real change. But you got to put God first. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be super Christian who can quote three chapters of the Bible and you pray 3 hours a day. And it just means that you truly are serving God and He's truly first place in your life, the most important thing in your life. And you know, when we really serve the Lord with a whole heart, then He blesses what we do. And you see, that's where there's such power in that. When God really is first, then He's going to bless. But whenever you ask God to play co-pilot take the back seat, then things just don't work out so good. No, you got to let God truly be first. For the Lord to be first in your children's lives, you're going to have to live it before them and show them the way. To save his family, Noah had to obey God. It was as simple as that. If he didn't obey God, he wasn't going to be able to save his family. What if the same is true for us? Well, it is. If we want to save our family, we need to obey God. We just need to do what God says to do. Now, that's a tall order, I know. But I'm just telling you, see, it's not a game. There's not like these three little steps. We'll just do this, this, and this, and it'll all be great. No, it's a way of life, and you got to really put God first. We show our children that God is first by our commitment. We pray, we read our Bible, we go to church, we worship. We're committed about it. There's this, you know, convenient Christianity today has a negative impact on raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, I'm telling you. And you know, when God is really first, it's not enough even to just come to church. No, we want to be involved in the work of the Lord. We want to witness to our coworkers, and, you know, we want to be involved in seeing other people's lives changed. And I'm just telling you, you say, how does that have anything to do with parenting? Because you're teaching your children that God is important, that God comes first. See, what's the most important thing with your kids? That they make a lot of money? Hey, that's great. I like that. That they're really good in sports? That they have a lot of fun? They get a good education. See, none of those things are bad things. Those are all good things. But I'm just telling you the truth. You can gain the whole world and still lose your own soul. And so we got to have our priorities right. That God really is first. Because when you get Him first, seek first His kingdom, Matthew 6:33, and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So you teach your children, God is first. And you'll have plenty of fun. And you can still get a good education. If that's the plan in the plan of God for your life, you can do that. You can play sports. You can make a lot of money if that's what God has for you. But I'm just telling you, God has to be first. And yet, it seems like a lot of parents kind of get mixed up about this. They want their kids to accomplish this and do this and do this. We got to save our kids. Teach them, put God first. Well, I don't want to ram it down their throat. I'm going to tell you how that happens. Most of the time when kids feel like, well, I'm just forced to go, it's being rammed down my throat. Listen, here's the glitch. It's not just, I'm going to make them go to church. No, you teach them to want to go to church. You model it for them. You show them. You see, a lot of the time when kids get to that place where I don't want to go, it's because they, whether it's real or not, they've perceived some kind of hypocrisy. They need to see that we are absolutely real. And I'm just telling you, if they see God is really first in our life, then they'll put God first in their life. Now, the younger you do that, the easier it is. But I'm just wanting you to understand that no matter what the age, they can see the difference. Sometimes you got to go back and you got to say, I just want you to know that I haven't really served God with a whole heart. But from this day forward, I am. Let's move along. To do parenting right, you have to take responsibility. The scripture says that Noah was moved with fear. I mean, God had given him this word that the whole world was going to be destroyed. Now build this ark to save your family. And he was moved with fear. There was a judgment that was coming on this earth. And he was moved with fear. There is another judgment that's coming. And certainly, we want our children to be saved so that they don't have to go to the great white throne judgment where they will be judged for eternity for their sin. But even if they are believers, they will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for reward. We want to prepare our kids for that day. So, we need to be moved with fear. See, we need to take this responsibility seriously. I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if Noah was just kind of like, well, you know, let's form a committee. Let's talk about this. Hey, maybe we can get the government in on this. I mean, come on. We need to build it. Y'all don't expect me to build this giant boat by myself. It's a football field and a half long. It's humongous. How am I going to ever do that? Most people would have looked at it and said, well, can't do that. Noah just took the responsibility. And here's what I'm saying to you. As a parent, if you're going to do this right, you are going to have to take responsibility. This is real unpopular, what I'm saying right now. Because the world is saying it's not your responsibility. It's everybody's. It takes a village to raise a child. Oh, it's the government. It's the schools. You know, it's everybody. In fact, here's a new one. It's not your responsibility. Why, it's your child's responsibility. No, it's not. It's yours. And you got to own that. If you're going to do it right, you got to be moved with fear that this great responsibility has been put upon me. And I want to tell you something. With that responsibility, there comes authority. Don't expect somebody else to do it. Don't count on anybody else to do it. You have to take that responsibility. You know, I mentioned that little phrase or saying. Hillary Clinton said it a few years ago. I believe it's actually an African proverb. It takes a village to raise a child. And most people in the Bible Belt would disagree with that phrase. And yet, it seems like that attitude and philosophy has crept in to the minds of a lot of Christian parents that somehow, you know, it's because of government and the schools and society at large that we have all this trouble raising our kids. Remember this, Noah built that boat in the worst generation that ever lived. And you can raise your children in the midst of this generation to serve God and love God with a whole heart, but you won't do it if you abdicate the responsibility and give it away. You have to say, this is my responsibility, and with God's help, I'm going to do it. You see, because when they take away the responsibility, or when you give it away, so goes the authority also. You got to take responsibility. Little booklet called Taking Back Your Children, the author asks this question. Parents, if you are not clearly outlining your values and morals as the foundation of your children's lives, then you must ask yourself, who is? Every generation loves to play the blame game. And if you as a parent want to blame somebody, there's plenty of people to blame. I used to be a youth pastor for a long time, over 15 years. I was a youth pastor at one church or another. And I was the guilty party. I mean, I got a lot of blame for a lot of stinkers. But I'm just telling you, when it's all said and done, it's not the schools, it's not your neighbors, it's not Hollywood, it's not our culture, it's not even the church that will be responsible. It's the parent. And when we understand that, and we understand that it really does fall on us, then we've taken a big step towards doing the right thing as a parent. As long as you're allowing other people to take that responsibility away from you, I'm telling you, you won't really get it done. Don't expect anybody else to do it. Now, I want to say this very clearly. The church is here to help you, to equip you, but parents are the ones that God has entrusted with the nurturing of those eternal souls. And you might feel inadequate. Join the club. I'm just telling you, though, you can do it. If you really have a heart to serve God and you want to take that responsibility, I'm telling you, God will help you get the job done. But you got to take that responsibility for your children's spiritual development. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." See, you got to take responsibility. Read the Bible to your kids. Talk about the Bible stories. You say, "I don't know the Bible stories." Well, then learn them. There is nothing that will make you learn like being a teacher. So if you want to teach your children, you want to help them grow spiritually, you want to make sure that they're learning right, you learn yourself and you read, but you take that responsibility to be the number one source of spiritual influence. Listen, moral influence, values influence. See, the world is saying, "Hey, just leave them as a blank slate and let them find their way." But you know what they really want? Listen, the enemy of our soul, the enemy of their soul, wants to destroy them. He wants you to leave that slate blank so that the culture and the media and Hollywood can write those values on their heart. I'm telling you, you need to be putting your values in your kids. Don't listen to the lie of the world saying, "Oh, well, that's not your place." Yes, it is your place. We all understand that when a three-year-old hits his little sister, that you say, "Don't do that." That's a value. You're teaching right and wrong. But then when it comes to some other things, it's kind of like people just, they're out to lunch. It's like, "Oh, well, we just got to let them find their own way." No, you got to teach it to them. Parenting done right is very hands-on. I'm just telling you, you got to take that responsibility. See, our society is promoting this hands-off attitude. And we're living in this perverse generation. That is the worst thing you can do. Your children desperately need your wisdom and guidance. See, the world says, "Well, let them pick their own friends. Let them watch what they want to. Let them do what they want. It's their life." None of the above. You need to make decisions for them and help them make the right choices until they learn wisdom and they can choose right for themselves. Listen, when they're two, do you just let them decide when they're going to cross the road? That's criminal. That's child endangerment, neglect. I mean, you'd be charged with a crime. You just let your two-year-old run out in the street. Well, that would be stupid. And yet parents do the same thing with moral decisions and choices that can affect the rest of their life. No, you need to take responsibility to be the person who influences your child and helps them find the right way and make wise choices until they, listen, I know that eventually they're going to have to make their own choices. That's exactly why you need to show them and teach them and help them make those decisions until they're ready. Let me put it this way. A lot of the time, you all know this to be true, young people get started down a path. They make one wrong choice that starts them down a path, and it leads to another and to another and to another. And yes, they could turn back, but so often it started with one choice. They went to one party, or they hooked up with the wrong person. They started going out with the wrong person. There was one choice. And I'm just telling you, parents, you need to not be afraid. Don't listen to what the culture is saying. And when your kid throws that back in your face, it's my life, I can do what I want. That's the time for you to step up and say, I love you, and I am your parent, and I am not going to watch you make a wrong decision and go the wrong direction. And as a pastor, I want you to know you have the responsibility and the authority that goes with it to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, think about old Noah working on that boat. Whether you know it or not, most theologians estimate that he worked on that boat for 80 to 100 years. That's a long time. Fortunately, it probably won't take you 100 years to raise your kids, although it seems like it takes longer than it used to, right? But here's one thing that we do know, that he spent a lot of time working on that boat, countless hours. To do parenting right, it's going to take you a whole lot of time. There is no shortcut. There is no microwave kid. I'm just telling you, to train a child will cost you. This is real encouragement. Some of you young parents, you're going to be scared. You're not going to want to come back. I'm just telling you, it will cost you the best hours of the best years of your life, and it's totally worth it. Because if you do it right, it will bring you boundless joy. See, nowadays, a lot of people talk about quality time. You need quality time, time where you're really talking with your kids and having meaningful interaction and conversation. You need quality, but you also need quantity time. In other words, your kids just need to be with you a whole lot. And it's something that has happened in our culture. It's why children and young people are having so much trouble in making right choices in their values, is because they're not with mom and dad. They need to be with you just to see how you handle life, how you handle adversity. I remember when ours were little bitty, we strapped them in the car seat in the church van and took off taking young people home. A lot of times we had them out till 11 o'clock at night. Well, some people would have thought it was child abuse. But you know what? They were with their mom and dad. They were with us all the time while we were doing ministry, working right with us. I'm telling you, your kids need to be around you. Now, I know when you're working a job, they can't always go with you to work. But I'm telling you this, though. You need to spend as much time as you can with your kids. Simple as that. That's how you influence. That's how they learn, and that's how they get to see you living out what it is to really serve the Lord. You know, the reason that TV, video games, and their friends so often are molding and shaping their values is because their parents just don't have time. And it always is going to be easier to set them in front of the TV than to pull aside and actually spend time with your kid. And I'm just telling you, it's going to take time. When I pastored in Oklahoma, we realized that on our block there were three parsonages, and all three of the preacher's kids on that street. The kids were, all three of us had kids that were in gifted and talented program. And I was talking to one of my aunts who was an educator, a teacher for many, many years. And she said, well, you know, it's not just because y'all are pastors. She says, it's because y'all all have this family time. You all have dinner together. And, you know, I began to realize that. In fact, I did a little bit of research on it. And now, I know this is too simple to be true, but it really does work this way. If you can sit down with your kids and have dinner every night or almost every night. Now, see, some of you, I know it's not possible, but as best you can, it makes such a difference in your kids' lives. If every night you sit down and you talk with them about their day. Now, I think it's wonderful when kids are homeschooled, but I'm just telling you, my kids went to public school, but it was never a real factor in negative sense because we talked about what happened at school. We talked about what happened with their friends. We talked about what happened with their teachers. And you see, in the midst of bad stuff, we taught them what was right. It was just an opportunity for them to learn values. But we constantly were impressing our values on them. But it took that time. And I'm just telling you, if you can find a way to have a regular time, especially a dinner time like that, where every night you sit down at the table together, you would be surprised what an impact. Now listen, when I say an impact and what a difference it makes, it's a little deposit every day. You see, that it pays off big dividends over time. A lot of times people try to put in a big deposit of time to fix stuff. But I'm telling you, you put in a little deposit of time every day, it will pay off big dividends down the road. But it's going to take time. By the way, here's a verse to back that up about sitting at the table. Psalms 128, 1 through 3 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. There you go. Well, here's the one about time, all right? Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. So important. And I know that it's a real challenge with mom and dad working, but I'm just telling you, as best you can, you got to spend as much time as you can. It'll make a difference. Next, building the ark was a lot of work. Can you imagine? He didn't have any big equipment. He didn't have any power tools, and yet he built this huge boat. To do parenting right, it's lots of work. So much to do. Most parents, when they're, you know, when they start off, they get that newborn, they're just in survival mode. I mean, they're just trying to make it through the day. And all they do, seems like anyway, with, you know, they get home from work and all they do is feed and change and burp and rock and sleep an hour or two and get up, do it all again. And but as the time goes by, it gets to where you don't have to do all that work. And you can kind of let them go into autopilot. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to do it right, you're going to always have to work at it. It's not just going to happen by accident. Raising godly children is always going to be work. But listen to this. As hard as it may seem, raising godly children is easier than fixing broken adults. And it's worth it. See, it's going to be work now, but it's going to save you later. And see, I want to say this very clearly. You can either give the time and the work now, or later, you'll spend twice as much time and work and money and everything else trying to fix them. Well, I shouldn't have to earn a living and then come home and work when I get home. Well, if you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to work at it. If you're going to have godly children, you're going to work at it. Next, Noah built the ark by faith. Is that five things? Say yes. He got his priorities right. He knew what was important. Got to get this boat built. You got to teach your kids. You got to raise them up. You got to train them up. This is what's important. So you got God first in your life. You got to take responsibility. If you're going to do it right, you can't abdicate it away. You have to take the responsibility. Don't play the blame game as a parent. You don't let your kids do that, do you? Don't do it yourself. It's going to take time. It's going to be lots of work. And Noah, the Bible tells us, built that ark by faith. To do parenting right, you got to do it by faith. See, a lot of people have the attitude that, well, you know, you just do the best you can and hope for the best. And that by hope, they mean wish for the best. But I'm telling you, we're believing God. We're trusting God. We plant, we water, but God does the rest. So we're believing Him. I want to read it again. It's Hebrews 11:7. He says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You see, as a parent, you're raising those children. You're training them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but you're doing it by faith. That verse again, you train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. I'm telling you, I've had so many parents say, oh, well, I did what was right. I trained them up. But the rest of that verse just isn't true. Well, you quit too soon. That's the very time that you need to stand on the Word of God and say, they're not going to depart from it. They're going to serve the Lord. He heals all my diseases. When I get sick, I don't say, well, that verse isn't true. I start saying, He heals all my diseases. I'm believing God. He heals all my diseases. I get worse. I guess, you know what I do? I say, well, that didn't work. No, I don't. I say, He heals all my diseases. And when they're going the wrong way, you say, I train them up and they're going to serve the Lord. They're not going to depart from it in Jesus' name. That's the very time to, by faith, you're believing God for them. Now, when you do it by faith, it means that you have connected to a power that's much greater than you. I want you to realize that you are co-laborers together with God. See, the Bible tells us this about in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are God's fellow workers. You need to realize that when you're raising godly children, you're doing some of the most awesome work of the Lord that you could ever do. I mean, whether you're teaching in children's church or if you were working in an orphanage or just working with your two, it's one of the most awesome things you could ever do. Is see them trained up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And here's the key. You ain't doing it alone. You're doing it by faith. You're doing it as a fellow worker with God. So this is really big for me. Because see, we all fail. We all drop the ball. And we all make mistakes. But God is so gracious. It's not by our works. And I want you to misunderstand. Of course, you should do the best you can. But it's not by our works. It's by God's hand and God's power, and we're trusting Him and praying for our kids. It's by faith. And I just got to tell you, I wouldn't want to try raising kids without the Lord. Psalms 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So, how do you use your faith and do this together with the Lord? Well, you pray. You pray. Pray a lot. Pray before you make decisions. Pray before you discipline. Pray before you talk to them sometimes. You just pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for strength. Sometimes, pray for a miracle. That's faith. Faith is trusting God. Whether you've done everything right or not, it's trusting God. I got one last verse for you. I'm going to let you go. When you're afraid, when you don't know if you have what it takes, when you wonder if it's worth it, when you feel like your kids are about to drive you crazy, just remember this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, some of you parents, you need that verse tonight. He didn't give you the spirit of fear. I'm telling you, in this culture, there's a lot of fear for parents. So you ain't doing it right, and you know, you it's not your business. I'm just telling you, you need to put aside all that spirit of fear. You got a spirit of power. See, he's going to empower you. He's going to give you. You do have what it takes if you're trusting God. Love, it's worth it. And a sound mind. Don't let it get the best of you. God will give you the wisdom, the strength, what you need to get through it. You just need to trust him. You're going to make it. Keep looking to him. He'll not leave you. Raising your children, you are in partnership with the Lord. Amen. Let's do it right. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for each of these. And I just pray, Father, that we will have a godly influence, not only on our children, our grandchildren, but, Lord, on this culture. Lord, they need to see it done right. And Father, I just pray that we would be a witness and shine brightly for you in this dark generation, that you be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need special prayer, I'd like you to know you can always come, and we'd be glad to pray with you. Lord bless you.